The Harlem Renaissance, unprecedented in United States culture and history, introduced a significant period that emphasized self-identity as well as group consciousness among Black people, both in the United States and abroad. Now, to sharpen my definition a bit, it was a literary awakening that occurred among African Americans that was characterized by an assertiveness on their part, and an outburst of creativity never seen before. There were several major figures or writers who produced fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and so forth during the period, the writers such as Langston Hughes and Zora Neale Hurston. Langston Hughes fashioned innovative literary forms. What Hughes really wanted to do was to somehow capture the folk traditions of his people and incorporate them into new forms. He wanted to create and to improve upon conventional forms. It's not that he was against using conventional forms, but rather, he wanted to improve upon them or create ones more reflective of the heritage of his people. So, in doing that, what he did was incorporate blues, jazz, spirituals, and many other forms of the African-American musical idiom into his poetry. He was the first, for example, to write a gospel play. And then there was Zora Neale Hurston, who published her classic novel, Their Eyes Were Watching God, in 1937. She was one who followed Hughes' example. She celebrated the folk traditions of African Americans and infused dialect folklore. She was an anthropologist and folklorist, so she worked within those mediums to produce work celebratory of heritage. Most of the cultural activity was centered in Harlem in New York City, which was at the time one of the largest cosmopolitan communities in the world. But the kinds of changes that were occurring among African Americans in Harlem were also taking place across the country, in various cities, especially in the urban north, like Washington, D.C., Chicago, Illinois, and even Cleveland, Ohio. So, a more general term is sometimes used to describe the kinds of changes that took place, and that's the New Negro Renaissance. And you may be wondering about Du Bois? Wasn't he responsible for the start of this Renaissance? Well, historians have traditionally dated the Harlem Renaissance or the beginnings of the Renaissance to the 1920s. But though these dates are debatable, some feel that the sudden flourishing of literature you see in the 20s was a result of the movements that started much earlier. For instance, in 1903 with Du Bois' publication of The Souls of Black Folks. Du Bois' book was one of the first works that began to explore Black identity and personality, with this emphasis on the idea of a double consciousness of Blacks, or as Du Bois put it, this sense of always looking at oneself through the eyes of others. In 1906, Du Bois led a meeting in the town of Niagara Falls for various leaders from the African American communities, and they advocated racial, social, and economic equality for African Americans. As a result, this was the beginning of the so-called Niagara Movement, which spawned a number of civil rights organizations that were formed during the time. Another factor was the Great Migration that began at the turn of the century and lasted well into the 1930s. It was a movement of more than 1 million Blacks who left the rural communities in the southern U.S. and moved to the cities, many of them located in the north, like Chicago, Cleveland, or New York City. Why did they leave? There are many reasons, but for the most part, they left because they were in search of the economic dream. There was a shortage of labor in the cities, and African Americans from South were seeking paid labor. They were also trying to escape the inherent inequities and institutional racism of the South. Though, one can argue, they were ostensibly trying to get away from unfair treatment in the South. The northern cities in which they settled were really not that much different from living in the South. In essence, those discriminatory practices existed everywhere in the U.S., and they were prevalent in the South, as well as in the North. This was also a problem Black World War I veterans faced when they returned from fighting in the war in 1918. They had risked their lives for the country. So, when they got home, they were no longer willing to accept second-class citizenship and they began to advocate for equality and to become more defiant and assertive. Hence, this was a mood, of course, that was characteristic of the Harlem Renaissance.